Hi everyone, hope you're all well and you're enjoying the gathering this morning. Great worship as usual. Great interview there this morning, and I love it. We just absolutely love it when we see church family in our online gatherings leading our prayers. The Bible message this morning is, it seems like it's a story about salt and light. Well, we'll hear the Bible reading in a little while. But actually, the theme this morning is how, as Christians, we can make a difference. Make a difference. Now, here's a confession from the vicar. I've always wanted to change things. You may think that's rather unusual, but I always have done. And since being a boy, really, I can recall in year six in New Money, when I was in juniors, I was made head milk monitor. A wise person who made me head milk monitor. And even then I thought, there's a better way of doing this, I think. And the teacher actually listened, and we had a better way of distributing milk throughout the school. Moved on into secondary school, and in the sixth form, myself and two friends led a whole school assembly. And we had some cool music in there. Well, it was then Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Water, and The Sound of Silence. Some projector slides on a screen and some really cool readings. In fact, it was so good, we got a spontaneous round of applause at the end of the assembly. That never happened in the school assemblies at all. Afterwards, we were called into the head's office. We thought it was going to be a thumbs up. Well done. Well, not quite. We got the biggest roasting you can imagine, the biggest telling off ever. I can recall the head now, Stuart, standing up with his gown on. It was a comprehensive school, but he wore a gown. Figure that one. And I remember him saying to the three of us, we don't do modern here, we do traditional. As you can imagine, that didn't go down that well with me, even at that age. Moved on then into the workplace, into industry. And I had some great opportunities there to put some ideas into practice. Not all worked, and it was a bit frustrating when you couldn't do stuff you wanted to do. But generally, there's some good opportunities there to shape things. And I hope it was a blessing to those around me and also to the organisation. And then 30 years ago, left all that and became a vicar and joined the Church of England. And I thought I was changing the change agent that could change the world. Actually, what I found was the most change-averse organisation that I'd ever experienced. Change, and particularly the Church of England, just did not go together. But that's a story for another day. So change, why did I want to do this change stuff? And I think it was something deep within me, because I always sensed a better way of doing things. But actually, that it would be a better way eventually of doing something. And on reflection, that may have come from my own life, my childhood. I'll be forever grateful to my parents who love me dearly, and ever grateful for them giving me a start in life. But I've said before that we lived in a dysfunctional household. And even then, I thought, as a boy and a teenager, there must be a better way of living life than this, without the arguments and the tension. And then I suppose when I heard about Jesus and his story and his proclamation of a better life through our friends, we've said before, who took us, me and Tricia, to church. And I heard that phrase from John 10:10, I have come that you may have life overflowing. Or as the message says, a more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Ding! The bell started ringing. I thought, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. So, the great sermon is a sermon that Jesus preached 2,000 years ago on a hillside. And he gathered so many, called the Sermon on the Mount, or the Great Sermon. And he actually spelt out there this better life. If you want to know this better life and the key things in it, just read Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7. It's all there. This is the better life. Last week, Casey started us on this little mini teaching series on Sundays called The Beautiful Life, which is deeper into the better life. So looking forward to these next weeks. And he started off at the beginning of chapter 5, teaching us on the Beatitudes, the beautiful attitudes. And I love one of the phrases he said, which is this. This is the way to live this God life. But then we realize it's impossible to do. We just can't live this way. And you know what? That's the whole point of the exercise. We all know we face challenges and problems in life, especially at this time in our nation and around the world. And it was Ronald Reagan, who was a former president of the United States, who said this: governments don't solve problems. They just rearrange them. How very, very true. You see, if we could solve everything on our own, we wouldn't need the supernatural power and wisdom of our God, would we? And I think I've seen that over these past weeks and months. Good people in our nation, politicians and others, trying to sort things out. Wise people, experienced people. But somehow it's, especially now as we come through the early weeks, there's a kind of blockage somewhere and people don't want to do stuff they don't want to do. And because I firmly believe the heart of the problem always is the problem of the human heart. It starts in here. Because the Bible actually says, doesn't it? The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If the heart's full of me, then it's all about me. If it's full of something else, and if it's full of God, then that's what will happen. Because if you want to make a difference, and many of us do want to make a difference, you need to be different. I'll say that again. If you want to make a difference, you need to be different. If you're still living the old kind of way and the old life, you ain't going to make a difference at all. But if God's difference is in you and starts to overflow from you, you're going to make a difference to the people around you and wherever God puts you. So Jesus is teaching this better life, this beautiful life, as we heard last week. And then after these Beatitudes, he moves on to these four amazing verses. I'm going to read them now from Matthew 5, and they're verses 13 to 16. And these will appear on the screen now. And I'm going to read them from the Message Bible. Let's read this now. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amazing reading. Jesus there talks about two key concepts, two practical things that the people then would have understood, easily understood. He talks about salt and light. Okay, I've got some salt here. There we go. Put it up there. Salt. Sacks of salt. This wasn't around in Jesus' time, but it's the only one I could find. There you go. Salt. Now, salt in Jesus' time was so important. And there's two key concepts about salt I just want to tease out here. And you'll see how that affects us today. The first thing about salt, and this will appear on the screen, it stops the bad. It stops the bad. In Jesus' time, salt would be rubbed in to preserve meat and preserve food. And it's such an important thing to do that. It stops the bad impacting that food. And Jesus is trying to say that in our lives, as his disciples, that when his life comes into our life, then this salt stops the bad stuff happening. In other words, lies and gossip and innuendo, these kind of risque stories. And particularly at the moment, it's quite prevalent, isn't it? This whole thing of racism. Racism, which is such a terrible thing and a blight on our nation and the nations, not just now, but over and not just in the recent history, but over decades and centuries. How you view another person because of the colour of their skin is a dreadful thing indeed. And when you've seen the phrase that BLM, Black Lives Matter, you've seen that? And here's the truth. If you don't agree with that, then at best you are naive or foolish, and at worst you're racist. It's as simple as that. But here's another truth. With God, black lives matter, but all lives matter. And for us as Christians, wherever God has put us, when you appear anywhere, the bad stuff ends. It stops with you. The gossip doesn't get passed on, the untruths, the bit of bullying that goes, it stops with you. And it's not just a silent stop sometimes. Sometimes you have to say, no, that is not right. We are not treating that person right in the office or in the workplace or in a school or wherever it is. It stops with you. So salt stops the bad. That's your job. And secondly, salt starts the good. You heard it in the reading. Salt brings out flavour in food. You may have seen people in restaurants in the old days when we used to go in restaurants. Do you remember the ones who like pour salt on? I'm not talking about these people for 5 minutes. You know, they just put loads, even before they've tasted the food. Now, people like that will have an issue in years to come with their arteries. I'm not talking about people like that. But we all know there's some food you've just a little, you taste it, you think, it's missing something. A little bit of salt brings the flavour out. And here's one that always works, chips. Salt on your chips always works. Vinegar as well, but Jesus didn't talk about vinegar, but he did talk about salt. It brings the flavour out, doesn't it? Now, you can call them French fries or you can call them potato wedges. At the end of the day, they're chips. And they're wonderful with a bit of salt on. It just brings out the flavour, doesn't it? It brings out the good. And Jesus is saying by you being there, by when you are there as his disciple, you bring a positive attitude. You encourage people. You're generous. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all that which is within you because he's in you, all starts to come out. And you know what? You are regarded as a person who it's good to be around. Good is what labels you. And it's a great thing because when you are around, okay, when you are around, the bad stops. But when you are around, the good starts. Okay, salt stops the bad, starts the good. And the second thing Jesus talked about was this. He talked about light. Here we are. This is not actually a lantern that Jesus used. It's one we use here. Can you see? There we go, flickering away. Now, I could say this came directly from the Holy Land. It didn't. I think it probably came from IKEA. But there we go. So there's light. And Jesus said two things about light as well. He said this, that light is so important. And for us, two things. Light stops the dark. It stops the dark. Now, the thing about darkness is this, and people often say this about the world, it's a dark place, don't get involved in the world. You can't blame the darkness for being dark. It's what darkness does. it's dark. In John chapter 1 and verse 5, speaking of Jesus, we hear this at Christmas sometime, speaking of Jesus, the light of the world, that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not understand it. That's so poignant, isn't it? But when the light does shine through you, through me, his disciples, it brings hope because light shining in the darkness opens things up. If you come down into the kitchen in the middle of the night for a drink and it's pitch black, you open the fridge door, a 5-watt fridge bulb illuminates everything, doesn't it? Brings you hope. You can see where you're going, and often people need that guidance. So when you're around, you can bring that hope and that guidance to people in their lives. Because when you appear on the scene, the darkness ends. So light stops the dark. And the second thing light does is this. It starts the life. It starts the life. We all know that life needs light in some way, and spiritual life needs the light of Jesus. And it's a truth here that when you appear on the scene anywhere, life starts to appear. What do I mean by that? Well, I think it works this way. Okay, you're a Christian, a disciple of Jesus. And when you are with people, with friends, with family, with colleagues, whatever it is, and they don't know which way to go and they're unsure about life, and you say this to them, okay, well, would it be okay if I pray for you? Ding, the light starts to shine. Pray? Yeah, that's fine. I was with someone recently, and another Christian, and there was someone else in this place where we were socially distanced, of course. And this person, I had a bit of a rough time, a bit of a tough time. And so this person I was with, I was about to say it, and this person said it, thanks be to God, can we pray for you? And so we prayed for this person. Now, I'd already prayed for that person on the phone a day or two earlier. And what this person said was, I'm feeling better already. I feel a lot more hopeful. And so when Christians appear, when you and I appear, we not only stop the darkness, but we start new life and new hope. So salt and light. Now, final thing here is change is challenging. It is very challenging. It's not always received easily. When Trish and I came to this amazing church here at St. Thomas's in 2001, I came as number three on the team. Story you've all heard, that Mike and Sally left for the States, and by default, I was the only one left, and I became the team leader in 2004. And our job was to bring the life of God and the new direction that God wanted for this church at Crooks. And there are some people who actually, I've said this before, thought, well, we've got a real vicar now and everything's going to go back to normal. Well, that wasn't the case. And what happened is it was difficult to start with, because some people who didn't want the change did leave in the end. But the ones who stayed, and that's all of you who know who I'm talking about here, you're still here. The ones who are here when Trish and I arrived, you stayed with it. You stayed the course. You've been salt and light. Yeah, there's been times, there's been challenges, and you've not quite understood, but you've asked me and you've got back to me and we've talked it through and we've seen amazing breakthroughs happening. It's not always easy. It's challenging, but if you press on, you'll see the breakthrough. And for me personally, with the Church of England, I mentioned that at the beginning of this little talk, it's not been easy at all. I have challenged the Church of England, both locally here and nationally when I can, because I think it's been doing things badly. And because of that, millions and millions of people, particularly young people, have drifted away from the church and from the gospel. It's been very, very tough. But I'm hopeful for the future. And we've held the ground. And God has still grown us here. And we have grown salt and light people. You. Salt and light people. And Trish and I are so proud of that. So here's a question to ask you finally as I finish this little Bible message. It's this. Can you think of a situation or perhaps a relationship that you're aware of where God wants you to be the change agent there? Maybe a colleague or a friend, or I don't know. Can you think of that? Now, you probably thought I was going to say, can you think of where God can pour his salt and light into your life? That's an obvious thing. We're going to pray for that at the end, that you become more of his disciple. But for that to happen, God then wants to use you. He wants to use you to be his change agent somewhere. Where do you think that is? And if so, how could you bring that about? With a phone call, a text, or a socially distant little conversation, a bunch of flowers, or I don't know, whatever it is. Because I firmly believe these are days of massive opportunity for the church, for our church. 24/7, salt and light people. This is the time. This is what God made us for here. And so I want to leave you with this. Salt and light people at SDC, be a blessing and make a difference. This is your time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as I put out my hands now, I receive from you all that you have for me on this morning. If there's kids around in the room, racing around or whatever they're doing, or maybe they're just sit quietly. Lord, for our families, for our children, for ourselves and for our futures, but Lord, we ask that we become more of your salt and light people, that wherever we turn up, the bad would stop and the good would start. Wherever we are, God, then the darkness would come to an end and new life would begin. Would you do that in our lives and would you use us for your glory? Thank you for this amazing church over the years and decades. It has been and is still a salt and light church. May Jesus be glorified in the days to come. Thank you. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day.